Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. 3 minutes past the hour. I apologize for being a tiny bit late pushing the buttons, but I'm afraid I got them a little bit. Well, I screwed up, okay? I do that. Sometimes that happens. It's what happens when, you know, it's a kind of a solo operation, and, well, it's what happens. But I'm here. Let the bells ring out, the banners fly. Feast your eyes on me, it's too good to be true. I'm here. Yep. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Coming through 5x5 above the 49th parallel on my 1949 Northrop Magnetic Drum Digital Differential Analyzer. Son of a gun. I don't think that's portable. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Asa. Thank you very kindly. Big thanks to Janice. Janice knocked out the remainder of last night and got us started on this evening. We have $170 to raise this evening. Thank you very kindly to Janice earlier in the day. $170 to go, and we'll hopefully raise it. We'll raise that in the next 2 hours, because this is, of course, program note, a shortened program. I'll be on the air until about 8-ish this evening, because at 9, I'm going to be filling in for Mike and Kathy, as they had somewhere to do and something to do. But anyway, they are away from the studio this evening. And so, starting at 9 o'clock, I'll fire up the Malloy intro music, and we'll do 2 hours of radio that way. Okay, cool. So again, $170 between now and, you know, 8 p.m. and we're golden. If you've never participated in helping keep the program on the air before, just head over to headonradionetwork.com and the tab marked contribute. Click on that. Fill out the fields on page one. If you'd like to make it a recurring, if you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, which is, one of these days, our ultimate ambition is to have 400 $10 a month monthly subscribers. And then there are no, if that ever happens, there's no more of this kind of talk at the beginning of the program. It just goes on. Okay. So if you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, just click that little box, make this a recurring donation. And don't bother about the fields about what you do and where you do it and why you do it and who you do it for. Just get to the next screen, and that's where you do PayPal, credit cards, that kind of thing. Or if you prefer the United States Postal Service, which many do, then you send checks and money orders to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. Okay. Let's see. I have no idea what that means, Randy. Randy says, I note with interest that you are on MikeMalloy.com stream. I don't know. I'm connected to the Progressive Voices stream, but I am not sending to it at the moment. But anyway, if you want to participate by the U.S. mail, send me an email so I can tell Boss Man Wayne to leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck. And all he'll have to take with him is, a 13th century mace in case he runs into the Klan, who also shares our UPS store with us, because the UPS store does business with the Klan. Oh, hi! I'm Bob Kincaid. Here at 8 minutes past 6 p.m. Thanks for the reminder, Little Gray, in the chat room. If you'd like to be part of the madcap merriment that is the Horn chat room, just run over to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be right there. You will be right there in the thick of things. And you'll be greeted by Hoghead and Jug of Punch and Jules and Little Gray and Anatole and Steve from Georgistan and Trey, and all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky, and sometime occasional wandering by when she gets a chance moderator Texas Betsy. Of course, Sparky being a Third Stage Guild navigator who chose again today not to fold space because it is probably infernal in the man cave. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've gotten that all out of the way. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn, this 7th day of July, 2016. And whatever else it was we were going to talk about this evening got shunted aside thanks to another trigger-happy police officer, Protector of the public, this time in Minnesota. The larger question is, what does it take to make this stuff stop? Between the outright execution of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and this latest case, the case of Philando Castile in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, it seems rather obvious that we are not making much in the way of headway in terms of modifying or mollifying police violence against people of color in this country. And it does seem very certainly a specific problem. I mean, for instance, let's see. How about the guy who was standing out in front of the Dairy Queen in Michigan last May? He had a loaded rifle. He was waving it around, otherwise known as brandishing it, and shouting angry things. The cops show up, and they say, "Sir, who are you?" And Joseph Houseman, white guy, refused to identify himself, grabbed his crotch, flipped the bird, cursed him out. He was drunker than Adam's off ox and didn't have an ID on him. There was a 40-minute confrontation. Standoff. Meanwhile, drunk white guy Joseph Houseman is screaming, "The revolution is coming! You're all a gang!" Yeah, more particularly, he said, "That's my First Amendment right. And the police said, no, it's not. You can't swear. The guy said, that's bullshit. I can threaten you if I want to. That's incorrect. I can threaten you. I can threaten your family. I didn't threaten your family. I said, oh, God. And you know what happened after it all? He did not get killed. And they took his gun away. And then they told him to come to the police station and get it the next day. And now he has his gun back. Then in August of last year, there's the San Diego man who got out of a parked car with a loaded 9mm pistol, pointed it at police officers and little kids playing in a park. And the cops spent the next hour talking to Lance Tamayo and getting him to put down his weapon. White guy. He did get shot once in the stomach. He's still alive. Here's another cat who was in Tennessee, arrested waving a loaded gun during a road rage incident involving another man and his son. Cops pulled him over. Car was full of empty beer cans and a loaded Smith & Wesson revolver. Yeah, E.J. Watson refused to exit the vehicle. They physically removed him from the car. 3 months earlier, he had been arrested for another road rage drunk incident. Still alive and kicking. Then there was the white guy who shot a BB gun at police officers. Still alive. The two white guys who shot up a Walmart with a BB gun. Still alive. The white guy who pointed a gun at Pennsylvania police officers. Still alive. The white woman in the body armor who was shooting into cars and pointing a gun at police. Still alive. Then there's the white guy who was pointing his firearm at Phoenix firefighters over the course of an hour-long standoff. You know how this works, right? Still alive. And on, and on, and on, and on. On the other hand, there's Alton Sterling, who was laying on the ground, absolutely defenseless, and the Baton Rouge police, at least according to the video, which doesn't have a bias one way or the other, well, they pretty much killed him in cold blood. The President of the United States, Barack Obama, took to Facebook on the issue. He said, all Americans should be deeply troubled by the fatal shootings of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Philando Castile in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. We've seen such tragedies far too many times that our hearts go out to the families and communities who suffered such a painful loss. Although I'm constrained in commenting on the particular facts of these cases, I'm encouraged that the U.S. Department of Justice has opened a civil rights investigation in Baton Rouge. What's clear is that these fatal shootings are not isolated incidences. They are symptomatic of the broader challenges within our criminal justice system, the racial disparities that appear across the system year after year, and the resulting lack of trust that exists between law enforcement and too many of the communities they serve. Meanwhile, the right wing has probably predictably begun screaming, why does Barack Obama hate cops? Our police are a thin blue line that stand between us and the chaos of them people getting loose all over the country and a raping of our white women's. Bad, I'm telling you. So what particularly are we talking about? I learned about this not too awfully long after the program was over last night. Isaac up in the wilds of Ohio sent me the video. And we will file this under, because, you know, this line seems to make its way into the program all too often. What Mrs. Lohman said, attention must be paid. It's Wednesday afternoon in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, when the police there pulled over Philando Castile and his girlfriend and her daughter riding, properly restrained in the back seat. This has got to be a real conundrum for, this and the and Alton Sterling's killing. These both have to be real conundrums for the National Republican Rifle Association. Because they're all the time saying that everybody needs a gun. Well, Philando Castile had a gun. He had it legally. He had a concealed carry permit. And when he informed the police that he had one, they killed him dead. Just because there are things in this in the audio that will not be broadcastable on the across the delicate wavelengths of the for-profit media. Well, like I said, attention must be paid. I cannot imagine. I doubt if any of us can imagine the horror that attends such a moment. But we all carry extremely sophisticated recording devices. Or most of us do now. And so, where in the case of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the cop said, our body cams, they just fell off. I don't know what the hell happened to them. They just fell off. If there was not such a recording as what we have, there would be no investigation at all of Alton Sterling's killing. In a way, this is reminiscent of the rape discussion. You know how right-wingers and Christians and so forth, evangelicals, you know, are predictable insofar as in the case of a rape, they'll say things, well, how was she dressed? You know, we need to teach women not to go where men might rape them. And the response is, no, Cletus. How about instead we teach men not to rape? Well, it's kind of like that with the body cams, isn't it? On the police. Because a body cam isn't much good for doing anything except recording the police killing people. You know, when the police can be bothered to wear them, which they couldn't in the case of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. How about we teach police not to kill innocent people? Just like we need to teach men not to rape. But this is a document of sorts, and it is stunning in its immediacy. As you hear it, you can ask yourself, What would I be saying? What would I be doing if I was sitting next to someone I cared about and I was watching them die before my eyes and they had done absolutely nothing to deserve it? By the way, still waiting on identification of the officer who did the killing. But we do know that according to the Minneapolis Police Department, or not the Minneapolis Police Department, the Falcon Heights, Minnesota Police Department, that he has been placed on administrative leave, which means that after he gunned down a citizen of the United States in cold blood, he's going to get paid to take a vacation while they figure out a way to cover it up or exonerate him, because that's what they do.
We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back, and the police just, he's covered. He killed my boyfriend. He's licensed. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket, and he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet, and the officer just shot him in his arm. We're waiting for a backup. I will, sir. No worries. I will.
Fuck.
He just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand off it.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell
Just to set the scene for you, as the man is bleeding out in the car with his right arm underneath the shoulder strap of the safety belt, that's the police officer you can hear screaming at the girlfriend of the victim, screaming, "Fuck! I told him not to move!" Because, see, he's trying to make a record. He's got a recording device on him, most likely. No, sir. And even at this point, she is still referring to him as officer and sir. No, sir, you told him to get his license and registration, and then you shot him. And he is still standing there, the police officer is, with his gun pointed directly at his victim, ready to shoot him again. Or maybe her, if she gets a little too much uppity. Merca.
Well, it's Brent. I told him to get his hand off
me. Stay with me. We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back. And the police just, he's covered. He killed my boyfriend. Fuck. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket. And he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet, and the officer just shot him in his arm. We're waiting for a backup. I will, sir. No worries. I will.
Fuck.
He just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand off it.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. Please don't tell me that he's gone. Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
Get the female passenger out.
Car right now with your hands up. Let me see your hands. Exit now. Keep them up.
Where's my daughter? You got my daughter?
Face away from me and walk backwards. Walk backwards towards me. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Get on your knees. Get on your knees.
That's her daughter you can hear screaming in the background. Get her out of the car. At no point in time do they render any sort of assistance, do they render any sort of first aid. In the time that you've been hearing this, there is no effort to provide first aid, there is no attempt to provide life-saving, nothing to the man who has just been gunned down by the Falcon Heights, Minnesota police. Then they tell her to get out of the car and back up to them. You know, in case they need to shoot her in the back. The way they did, you know, Alton Sterling. Now, what has this woman done, apart from documenting the murder of her significant other? Nothing. Still, she is treated like a criminal, and in a moment, you're going to hear another chilling noise.
Ma'am, you're just being detained right now until we get this all sorted out, okay?
Ma'am, you're just being detained right now till we get this all sorted out, okay? She's, of course, being detained in handcuffs behind her back. She has done abso-goddamn-lutely nothing to give the police reason to think that she is in, that any officer, all those cops, there's two or three or four of them now, who all have guns, and are ready to kill her at a moment's notice. She's given them no reason to think that she is any sort of a threat to them. But she gets the cuffs. She, who just watched them kill her boyfriend. They, who just killed her boyfriend in front of the eyes of a 5 or 6 or 7 year old little girl.
They threw my phone, Facebook. Please don't tell me, Lord Jesus, please don't tell me.
Here. Okay,
you please. Want this no, please don't tell me my boyfriend is gone. Here, take it off my head. Please don't tell me he's gone.
Oh, they did manage to call an ambulance, which you can sort of tell.
Please, no, don't let him be go, Lord.
Well, Officer Friendly is still out there yelling fuck at the top of his lungs. Good for him. Yep, still screaming. The cop, that is. Cause, you know, he's the one who's really, really harmed here. Because, you know, Philando Castile made him shoot him, you know, by sitting there in the car. note coming in from Steve in New York. Subject line, I'm sorry. How many times do we have to hear the same scenario before we correctly assume that this is the norm and that the good cops are the exception? Good faith, right? Steve says, I'm sorry, Bob, but fuck all cops. Meanwhile, Gerald notes, officer friendly. Fuck! I'm going to be up all damn night filling out reports! Fuck! Now I'm going to have to explain all this shit! Fuck! Question. Now, Philando Castile had a concealed weapon that he had, you know, legally. But that's the thing about a concealed weapon. It's concealed. Philando Castile was trying to save his own life by saying, gonna get you the license and registration. It's in my wallet. But I want to let you know I have a concealed weapon. Bang! But since when... And maybe the answer is, you know, since Black. Is it typical police procedure to approach a traffic stop with your goddamn gun drawn? Well, Bob, there are mean streets out there full of black people. It's not necessary to draw weapons when the subject of the person is properly white. Now let's check out the audio, a little more of it.
Fucking
ignorant! So somebody then turned the phone over, I guess in hopes of getting the microphone to stop picking up Officer Friendly having a conniption out there in the distance, because as you could, I don't know, I could hear it. I got cans on. Maybe you don't. Maybe if you can find the video, because Officer Friendly is still having a conniption back there. Yeah, there's another one.
Please don't tell me my boyfriend's gone. He don't deserve this. Please. He's a good man. He works for St. Paul Public School. He doesn't have no records of anything. He's never been in jail, anything. He's not a gang member, anything.
Doesn't matter that he's never been in jail. It doesn't matter that he's never been a gang member. He's black in America. Okay. What do you want to bet at the opening of the Republican National Convention? They have a moment of silence for the anguish felt by the cop. She's praying. Please, Lord, you know our rights. You know we are innocent people, Lord. You know we are innocent people. Well, the Lord may, but to the police in this country, you are presumed guilty. And all too often, if one's skin is dark, the police are empowered to be both judge, jury, and executioner, as they were in this instance. How many more Philando Castiles, how many more Alton Sterlings must we have before we realize that the police in this country are largely at war with the black community? The black community is not at war with the police. The police are at war with the black community.
You're innocent. My four-year-old can't even tell you about it. What I'm going to do is
They won't even let the baby go to her mama. She's four, by the way. Four.
Before you take the handcuffs off,
can you search her before I'm...
Can you take a moment to try to put yourself in her place? You're handcuffed on the ground. You're handcuffed behind your back. You've just watched your boyfriend be murdered in cold blood. And as Gerald notes, at this point, she's probably assuming that she's next, or her little girl. And a moment for the little girl. What becomes of her? How long before her little four-year-old memory forgets the nightmare of July the 6th, 2016? How long before a loud noise doesn't cause her to recoil in fear? Or will it be with her if she lives a long life of 99 years? Will that sound still be in her mind when she finally breathes her last? There's no answers to these questions, although the mental health professionals will probably say it's going to take a lot of work with this little girl to make her be okay. Sergeant John Mangseth, interim police chief of the St. Anthony Police Department, said, we haven't had an officer-involved shooting in, 30 years or more. I'd have to go back in the history books to tell you the truth. I'm sorry, Jennifer. Jennifer says, can't stop crying. Hearing her daughter say to her, it's okay, Mom, I'm here. Fuck, she's my new hero. I saw the video last night and almost thought it was fake because she was so composed. But hearing her daughter's voice, I've been crying for the last few hours. I'm a whitey Swede. My daughter is half Mexican. She won't have the same experience as me and my privilege. And I so want to send her daughter a teddy bear or something, just so she will know people care. And that is a decent, 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 humane response, Jenny. But the problem isn't the question of whether people care. People care. In the aftermath of this cold-blooded killing, protesters, black and white alike, surrounded the governor's mansion where Mark Dayton, the governor of Minnesota, lives. People care. People care. It's not a people problem. It's a police problem. It is a bad police problem. It is a horrible police problem. It is a horrifying police problem. They're out of control. We will predictably have, I'm guessing, in the next two or three days, there will be several stories hit the wires about a good police officer doing some good thing for some person in dire need as a way to sort of blunt the negativity, the negative PR that this generates for the police. But the question is, why do they do this? Why? I don't know. Maybe we'll work on some answers to that through the course of the program.
I can't at all. It's got to be processed, okay?
Well, yeah, I what you saying.
Okay. Come here, Dada.
Is that your phone?
Finally, the phone gets turned back over, and we see the face of her daughter. And then the audio goes away. Gerald notes, "My hopes are that this little girl grows up and becomes a very good lawyer who then seeks out cases like this and then sues the hell out of the police departments and officers who condone and commit cold-blooded murder, because we all know all the training in the world ain't going to change things like this." But see, that's the problem. We have created these things do not happen in vacuums. We have created the circumstances and the atmosphere that make these sorts of things more likely to happen. In Steve's note a few minutes ago, he said, good faith, right? And that's the magic word. Those are the magic words. When Philando Castile has about 6 feet of earth on top of him, when the protests have died down, and when the reptilianly analytical minds of the lawyers get busy on this, the lawyers who will be assigned to defend this heretofore nameless police officer who apparently screams fuck a lot, they will begin the cold and ugly business of crafting an excuse for the officer's conduct. And it is cold business indeed. And they will use phrases like good faith.
Well, pretty obviously, the officers pulled over this car. It had a busted taillight, and so it was therefore giving probable cause for them to be pulled over. And so, you know, they pulled the car over in good faith, and he approached the car in good faith. And eventually, if God forbid this is tried to a jury, the jury will be told that he shot Philando Castile in, you know, good faith. And because of a line of Supreme Court cases going back a generation now or more, police misconduct is frequently and has been frequently by the Supreme Court of the United States excused, winked at, under the rubric of good faith. Horrors! Here's a good one. Go back and just look up U.S. v. Leon. Go look it up. I mean, this was a travesty. Went all the way to the Supreme Court. And it was an absolute nightmare. The police conduct was egregious and outrageous. You know, they were supposed to go to 102 Maple Street, and they went to 201, and they wreaked havoc. And the Supreme Court, in the majority opinion, said, not a problem, because they were operating in good faith. Then, do you remember the confirmation hearings of Sammy Alito? I do. Do you remember one of the cases for which he became notorious as a member of the Court of Appeals? That case involved strip searching a little girl during a drug raid. Sammy Alito said, good faith, stripper. He was also part of another case where a young man, how about that, he was black, son of a gun, was fleeing the police, was something on the order of 30 feet away, running for his life, and Sammy Alito said it was a-okay for the police to shoot him in the back of the head and kill him, even though he posed no threat whatsoever to the police officers in the incident.
It's got to be processed, okay?
Is that your phone?
Yeah. Good faith. Good faith. And yeah, I imagine all the fucks being rained down upon the situation. I imagine that has something to do with the fact that the officer knows he's just killed a man in cold blood, knows that he's screwed up, and he's kind of worried at the moment, but because there's nobody there to pull him aside and tell him, it's okay. You're gonna get away with it. You just murdered a man, and you're gonna get away with it. Because you've got a very, very, very strong police union behind you. And they will bring to bear all the power that they have to protect you and exonerate you and blame the dead black guy. 'Cause it's what they do.
And come on, Officer Friendly. If you're worried about the grand jury, don't. A grand jury is never going to touch you. The prosecutor probably won't even present your case to the grand jury. And if he does, he will let the grand jury know that it was entirely the innocent black guy's fault for getting in the way of your bullet. And justice for all. Right? Sure. A busted taillight. What do you suppose yesterday morning was like for Philando Castile? What do you suppose he did when he got out of bed in the morning? Got a shower? Bowl of cereal? Got dressed? Where do you reckon they were going with the little girl? Maybe to a park to play? Maybe to a movie? A busted taillight. Reckon maybe as they walked out to the car, he said, I gotta get that taillight taken care of. But in Minnesota and in the greater United States, as Gerald observes, a busted taillight is a death sentence. You know, if you're black. How do you square this? Why are the police so trigger happy? The NRA, the National Republican Rifle Association, has repeatedly told us that the only remedy to a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. What happens when the bad guy with the gun has a badge too? Because if you try to avail yourself of your good guy with a gun remedy when the bad guy with a gun is a cop, there is no fact pattern, there is no scenario in which you win. Why? And this does not do much in terms of an excuse, nor is it intended to be one. But why are the police so trigger happy? And why do they get so trigger happy, it seems, particularly around people of color? Has it always been this way? Has this for generations been part of the talk? To a certain extent, it has, I believe. Being a person pretty well immersed in white privilege, I can't address that. But in the last 40 years, since the NRA has become the militant paramilitary wing of the Republican National Committee, I wonder if we would find that these incidents have become worse or have increased over time. The Guardian newspaper reports that Philando Castile, and, you know, what a nondescript number 561 is. But Philando Castile became the 561st person killed by police in the United States of America in 2016. And as of yesterday, when Philando Castile became the 561st person killed by police in 2016, the year was 6 days more than half gone. If the numbers continue to, if the bodies continue to pile up like that, by the time that we reach New Year's Eve, we'll be on track for something on the order of 3 people a day in the United States killed by police. Some, of course, being more deserving than others. The angry Indian tells me the police are trigger happy because they are afraid of black people. And yes, it has always been this way. Robert, up near Morgantown, says, why are cops so trigger happy? Maybe they're back from Iraq? Now there's a thought. Jay Cruzen says, short answer, fear. Stephen, New York, says, the NRA, it's their fault and the fault of every other merchant of fear in this country. That means the entire lizard-brained Republican Party. Marty says, I need the angry Indian to verify, but haven't police departments been trained with Israeli Defense Force advisors? I'm certain he would know. Marty adds, and they wonder why I want to go expat. Carol Baker asking, how long do you suppose it will be before they find a police record and smear the dead man's reputation as an excuse that he had it coming? I'm sure that effort's already underway. Has he not been, has Philando Castile not been smeared on Fox yet? I'd be surprised. Truly, I would. But I'm long on questions. And like the rest of us, short on answers. Short on answers. So, this being a somewhat truncated version of the program this evening, and this being a brutal and painful day, we'll open up the lines. You know the numbers, unless you're brand new to the program. 304-574-8178 or 304-663-4676. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BOBKINCAIDHORN. And, I mean, I'm at a loss. For much of what to say. But this country has been taught to fear. There's 400 years of fear. From the first moment that white folks realized that they had imported so many kidnapped African slaves that they were now themselves, as white folks, outnumbered, the mythic bowel-watering fear of an uprising. Has almost has reached the level of race memory inside white people. Well, let's go to the stress line and run on out to Minnesota and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
I figured I might as well call you since we're officially Minnesota stand today.
You may be.
I've been listening to the regular over-the-broadcast news radio show for a lot of the day, and it's like the white privilege, you know, people just don't. The white people just don't see that. The vast majority of callers at like, he had to do something wrong. You know, it's basically a black person should not have a conceal and carry permit is basically, it's his fault because he had a conceal and carry permit and he was black.
Well, was this okay? So that's a question. was this a brutal reminder to the black community that the Second Amendment is a very, very, very white civil right?
I would say yes. You know, a lot of the callers were like. A lot of the callers were like, well, it's because, you know, the video, you know, she didn't start shooting the video until after the shots were, you know, fired, that it was like, well, he wasn't following proper NRA guidelines about, you know, informing the officer that you have a conceal and carry permit and then putting your hands on top of the steering wheel and asking, what should I do now, officer? You know, even though according to...
How may I be sufficiently compliant so as to not have you murder me, summarily execute me?
It's funny how it usually... Everything works out okay if the person has a conceal and carry permit and he's white, rather than being black.
Well, he doesn't even have to have it concealed, as those stories that I mentioned at the top of the program note. You can wave it around and scream every expletive under the sun at the police. And when they finally get you subdued, they will give your gun back to your white ass the next day.
Yeah. I kind of disagree with you a little bit that it's a police problem and not a people problem. I think it's both a police problem and a people problem because they both reinforce each other. The vast majority of people don't want to see the white privilege situation, and that just supports the, you know, what there's no longer a racial problem in the United States.
Didn't John Roberts say that a couple of years ago? We're past
right.
Racism now?
All you have to do is watch Fox News for 2 minutes and you'll figure out that there's no race problem in the United States anymore. And then that reinforces the
I want to very carefully ask a question here. And you'll understand in a minute why I say I want to be very careful in asking it. But now, at one point in time, she says he worked for State Farm. Now, we don't know as what. But, and this is in no wise victim blaming, but why did he have a concealed weapon in the first place? I would, now, to be clear, I would ask this of a black person or a white person or an Asian person or any other sort of person. Because it's a question, I mean, you know, the answer is because we have been told that everybody has to carry a gun. Okay, I mean, here in West Virginia, our teabagger legislature encouraged everybody over 21 to go get a gun because you can carry one concealed without a permit now. It makes for some nerve-wracking situations.
Well, that's definitely true.
But did he have a concealed weapons? Did he have a concealed?
If you're a cop in England, you're Australia, you're not going to be worried that you might get your head blown off at any possible second of the day. So you're not going to be you don't even have the gun with you to draw to kill somebody.
No, I've seen videos
in the United States. It's like the Wild Wild West.
But I want to try to reach a broader understanding or a deeper understanding of why people are running around with guns strapped to their hips. I mean, we've got story after story of, you know, white bubbas who can't go down to the Rippy Mart to get a jug of milk and a loaf of bread without carrying their dirty, hairy hog leg with them, and they wind up shooting their Johnson off. We've got the woman with the Freedom Protector bra who shot herself through the heart, white woman. We've got, you know, the white lady mama on the day after Christmas in Idaho whose toddler blew her brains out because she was testing out her new Freedom Protector purse. But why? What? There's a mindset here, black or white. There's a mindset here that says that carrying a firearm provides some level of protection when, in fact, it does not. Because anybody in almost any situation, anybody who's going to start shooting is going to have the drop on you. And they're not going to call you out into the middle of Main Street and have a showdown, in old Deadwood.
Well, you know that, Bob, and I know that, and the Horn family knows that, but, you know, the vast majority of Americans think we're just a bunch of sissies.
But what we are is a bunch of thinking people. One last comment, if I may. I trust that all these talk radio over the air stations you were listening to most radio stations are owned by the right wing now. Was this mostly right wing radio listeners? Well, why did he? Why did he have a gun? I mean, he was black.
The station I was listening today was not. It was basically the last vestiges of CBS type of radio, news and weather, straight up kind of deal. And the personalities that they have, I would not classify as as your typical right wing.
Does this just shock? Because we have that stereotype of Minnesota nice. Does this just shock Minnesota Nice to its very foundations?
Well, I think that's why the average non-black folk are trying to find out, are trying to look for some explanation of why this happened without just saying white privilege. If that's the explanation that they're looking for, then it's like the victim had to do something. It had to have been his fault. You know, it had to be his fault, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, Steve in New York just said, let's call it like it is. Many in this country still consider black people three-fifths of a person.
Yeah.
Sad. But I appreciate the... I appreciate the perspective from on the ground there in Minnesota. I really, really do.
Okay. No problem, Bob.
All right. You take care and keep us posted, all right?
All right. Will do.
Bye now.
Have a good night.
Thanks. I suspect this conversation will also continue on the Malloy program. Going back to the phones in just a second. I think we've got Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Michael in Madison writes, subject line, fuck! What is the fucking solution? I'm so angry right now I can't even think. A black man is shot to death by a paranoid cop with an itchy trigger finger. His girlfriend is arrested. Detained. Remember, we had this conversation about the guy in Avon, Ohio, the man from the UAE the other night. Ah, well, no, we didn't really arrest him. We just detained him on his face on the ground with handcuffs on him behind his back because Alexis Silva and her daddy called 911 and said he was pledging allegiance to ISIS. Dig it. The man was subjected to manifest indignities, but even though the cops sent out the whole platoon, and they were told he was pledging allegiance to ISIS, he's going to live to sue. Not even so much as an Allahu Akbar in Minnesota. His girlfriend, Michael says, is arrested, detained, treated like a fucking criminal, handcuffed for nothing more than being a witness to her boyfriend's murder. Meanwhile, a little girl sits in the car crying while daddy dies. And Officer Friendly runs around screaming, fuck! Like a roided-up maniac for the next 15 minutes. Ta-da! I was wondering if anybody was going to wonder about roids. Because half of these muscle-bound guys look like... Well, never mind. Speculating. Michael says, fuck America. Seriously, fuck America. Fuck America. Fuck your fucking 4th of July barbecue. Fuck your fireworks. Fuck your patriotism. And fuck the fucking flag. Freedom, liberty, for who? What's the fucking solution? Is local policing just an irretrievably broken, failed experiment in this nation? Do we need to nationalize all policing and remove all local control? It took federal marshals and the National Guard to get James Meredith through the doors of Ole Miss and to get George Wallace out of the University of Alabama doorways. I don't know. If Black Lives Don't Matter is not a national fucking emergency, I don't know what the is. Certainly not some fucking tornado. Property damage. All caps. President Obama, do something now. Michael says, I feel like I might throw up. Oh, and by the way, thank you very kindly to Asa. Asa sent me a screen cap. You will be pleased to know that Hillary Clinton sent thoughts and prayers to the family of Alton Sterling. You'll notice there were no thoughts and prayers in the statement of Barack Obama. Yeah. Okay, back to the phones. Is that, in fact, you, Todd?
This might be I.
It might be.
It might be I and I. Listen, first of all, did you see the whole video that was posted?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw what Isaac sent me. I mean...
Sorry. I'm not the crying type, but I thought I was crazy until I heard your a call, not a caller, but somebody named Janet or Jenny. Yes, I had the. I mean, it was like she was reading my mind. Like I was vindicated, and I was vindicated in my feelings by exactly what she said. I mean, that because it was surreal. It was like a Blair Witch Project. It looked. I mean, it was like this has to be fake because the girlfriend was holding herself together so well. She's like, "Yes, sir. I will keep my hands on the wheel." Right. There is so much to this case.
But Todd, I agree with you. She held herself together extremely well, but isn't that one of those lessons that has been taught, both learned and taught? You cannot freak out, or they will kill you too.
Listen, how do you think I'm still alive? As fiery as I am, I know when to be quiet. Okay. And it puts them off when you're very calm. They don't know what to do. When you know you're right, you know. But, you know, people have filters, right? And I heard you said it's a truncated program tonight, so I'm not going to ask too many questions. Or make.
Oh, no, no, no. You're helping people, okay?
Well, you know, folks need to understand that there's a filter that many folks have that it takes. You know, naturally, we are xenophobic, naturally. That's a survival type of thing. And it takes some work. And sometimes it takes education. Sometimes it takes exposure. That's why it's very good to travel with your children and go different places. Okay, I'm not trying to go too far from the tree, but I mean, I just want to say that. So much trauma from that situation. Now, and what got me is that the man is there, like you said, bleeding out. And the officer has still got his weapon. You can see the barrel. I mean, usually they carry knives. It looked like a .45 barrel to me, but it looked, you know, it's probably a knife, a service knife. But it doesn't matter. The guy's arm.
Hey, you know what? When it's pointed at you, if it's a .22 caliber, it looks like a bus.
It's a bus. And that gets to the other thing. You know, children have very sensitive eardrums. If you've ever heard a gun go off in a car, it's amazingly loud. It's too loud to be doing that shit. All right, that's kind of beside the point. But listen, the officer knew he messed up. That's why he kept saying, that's why he kept saying, fuck. He knew he messed up. He knew he messed up. Okay? Now, there's so much wrong. See, all the training in the world won't help until we can clear this rot. There's rot that folks don't look at other people as equals or as human beings, because you would not do that to another human being. You got Clive and Bundy's folks walking around with pointing high-powered weapons at people. They didn't get shot. Like you were saying earlier, they didn't get shot. And just as I want to do, I pulled up the Star Tribune, which is a Minneapolis newspaper, and they covered no charges for Minnesota officers in police-involved deaths since 2000.
Now, that does not mean there have been no police-involved deaths.
In more than 130 decisions, a grand jury, county attorney, or the U.S. attorney determined that there was a probable cause of a crime being committed. Okay? And just to play the devil's advocate, the young man, the 31-year-old victim, he did have a string of petty misdemeanors, but so what? That means nothing. You know, I mean...
That does not enable... or require summary execution by the police.
No, it doesn't.
And nor does it excuse it.
There before Fox News says anything, I just want everybody to, you know, and this is, of course, according to the local paper. They said they covered
the... Okay, but I want to take a moment with that, Todd. In the United States of America, how do you... How does a young black man get to, say, 21 years old without a couple of petty misdemeanors?
You can't. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And I will tell you from experience, that when you go to make a complaint, the first thing they do is run your driver's license to see if you have any outstanding warrants. And then they say, well, you know, I mean, I've been told this. I've been arrested before. I've been arrested numerous times. Being arrested, and see, you got to remember the mindset. When you're in that gang, and remember, the law enforcement is a gang. It's not, it's like having a girl with green eyes. It's not good or bad. It is. It just is. That's why I hope you get, I'm not a doctorate in sociology. That was my minor, and I had extra schooling on that because that was part of my job at the university. I was an ethnographer, and I had to take extra courses on top of what I already took. But, I mean, I have like 200 credit hours. I could have a PhD, but I don't. Anyway, so you have to understand they function as a gang. And what ends up happening is that you end up with the worst of the worst, because if you're the good guy, you get drummed out or they don't have your back. And I hate to go to a movie, but it's very similar to Training Day. Okay, you just like a gang, you get drunk, you get jumped in, you get jumped out. I mean, it takes, because if you're not in long enough, like if you're in there for a little while, get out. Unless you've got so much time, then you don't want to lose your pension. I'm not trying to get too sidetracked because this situation, it's so painful. I'm not crying. But when that little girl said, "Don't worry, mommy, I'm here for you," a 4-year-old girl.
If it provides you any cover, the first time we watched this, Agnes and I, having just gotten the email from Isaac, that did both Agnes and me in. The tears started flowing.
I'm not a police hater. We need police, but we don't need bad police. I'm a firm believer that almost no police is better than bad police, because bad police causes trouble and it causes a disintegration.
That's the whole thing, Todd. This is not policing, okay? There are a million different things to look at. Why, in the name of God, is a busted taillight, quote unquote, probable cause to stop?
Well,
I mean, we don't think in those terms, but why is it? I mean, because I remember sitting in criminal law class, and I remember the probable cause lectures, and I remember the professor saying, "Listen, get it all the way down. Virtually any car on the road today is at some point in time rolling probable cause." The probable cause, and no one will ever admit it, but it is the damn truth. The probable cause was the make and model of the car, the quality of the car, the busted taillight, and the color of the people in the car. Okay, because a ticket for a busted taillight, that's going to be a couple of $100.
Yeah.
And so police will tell you there are no quotas. Police are lying. They justify their existence with the amount of money they bring in to city and county treasuries.
Bob, how often have you been stopped and just for any, a minor infraction, and they just pull the doors of the car open and you just search?
Me, never. Now,
okay,
I've been pulled over for your sticker, your inspection sticker's out of date, and damn, sorry, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Okay, citizen, have a good day.
Well, I don't know if you remember, maybe. On another call, I told you I went for a CCW permit, and the constable who was teaching the class, he pulled me to the side near the end of the class, after you're done with your written, your oral, your written, and the firing range and everything. And he says, you really don't want a permit because it won't matter. If you have a gun in the car, they're going to shoot you. And I'll never forget it.
And this was done with the characteristic cornpone accent, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. But I think he was trying to do me a favor.
Yeah, no. Son, I just want to give you a good piece of advice.
Right.
I appreciate the fact that you're trying to be a law-abiding citizen here, getting your concealed carry permit. But I mean, can we talk? Son, you're black.
I didn't want to be to walk around with a weapon. But it's only because it's the law is tricky in how you transport a weapon, right? You can only have it in a certain, you know, every state is different. You can have only certain places in the car, blah, blah, blah. All right. But I listened to what the man said because you don't want to get a federal gun charge. But let's go back to policing for 1 second because this made me think, and this has nothing to do with shooting, but it has to do with a mindset. Now, do you remember the incident with Dr. Professor Gates? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he showed the officer his ID with a picture on it. It's a driver's license stating his address. Like, this is where I live. I mean, what if that doesn't suffice, what does it take? Not to mention that this officer was the director or the head of the multicultural task force at the police force trying to teach sensitivity. So this is what I'm saying, is that we understand we need police, but, you know, they need a little more education. They need to understand what they're doing. All right. Something is wrong. The last thing I want to ask you a question is that, as you know, I really like Washington Journal because that's the pulse of America. Okay. They let everybody get in and get their 2 cents in. And it's frightening is what it is. It's like a Mad Magazine, except it's real. Okay. It's frightening. You often have calls that say, I'm not going to do that. All you have to do is do what the officer says. Everything will be okay. That's bullshit. Okay.
Well, he was doing what the officer said, and the officer blew him away. Now, is this a failure? I'm thinking lawyery. Is this a failure to train claim? Is this an inadequacy of training claim? You know, we've got rules for how much sleep an airline pilot has to get before she can get behind the stick again for the next flight. Do we have rules like that for police officers? Or do they live for the overtime? And do they count on that from year to year in terms of what their salary is?
There are no national, that's one of the problems. This is why the Guardian keeps better track of how many people are being killed in our country. That's a UK publication than we do. So this is something Congress can do. They can demand that police keep better records. Like, we have the UCR, Uniform Crime Report. We have that, but it's not filtered down to the point where studies can be done to figure out exactly what is going on. Okay? So, because something is dreadfully wrong. But see, Trump is not helping.
Well, here's another one. When's the last time in a state that has capital punishment, when's the last time they executed a cop? Probably not in living memory. So let me throw one more your way. So there were, you know, there's the standard of proof in a criminal case is far higher than the standard of proof in a civil case.
Right.
In a criminal case, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt and all of the elements of the crime. And intent is, in any felony, a part of it. Now, in a civil case, we don't give a goddamn about intent. In a civil case, all liability is based upon fault. Clearly, it's the officer's fault that he shot and killed this man. But here's the other part of equation. The officer is protected. He is protected by the city's insurance policy.
Right.
And he is protected insofar as the doctrine of respondeat superior says that
that his superiors will be the ones who are called upon to respond to his tortious act. So this case is never going to be civilly tried. There will be a settlement. There will be a civil settlement. There will be non-disclosure agreements inside the settlement document as to how much was paid, that kind of thing. Maybe you can get it from a Freedom of Information Act request, or I don't know, maybe. But you get the idea. So,
yeah, that's
no matter how egregious, no matter how grossly negligent the conduct of the officer, he is never going to feel a financial pinprick over what he just did, over the family he just ruined, over the community he just threw into absolute chaos. And, you know, he'll go on copping somewhere else. And somewhere along the way, you know, when they're sitting in their cop bar, drinking their cop beers, and all of them together, I'll be like, that's okay, son. It happens to the best of us. Hell, I shot 4 or 5 before I was 40 years old. You're going to be all right. It ain't your fault. It ain't your fault he was black with a tail light out. Son, it happens. Am I wrong? And so the civil justice system creates another layer of why we can't stop this. Because the cop is not going to be bankrupted by this. The cop is not going to be financially ruined by this. And the only thing this country and the people in it care about, for the most part, is money. Because you cannot survive in this country without it. So as long as he doesn't have to make payments on a $1 million judgment and have his wages garnished out of every payday, he's cool.
Well, that poses a problem, though.
It damn sure does.
Because then, you know, who's going to want to be a cop who's bright enough to make good decisions?
Well, wait. Oh, okay, so there's that. So I remember the story from several years back about the guy who sued and lost because he said he was not allowed to go to cop school because he scored too high on the copping test.
That's what I'm talking about.
They don't want that smart guy. They want, or woman, they want people who will follow orders and do as they're told and, you know, hopefully not expose the department to too much liability.
But, see, this thing is really complicated when it comes to the charges. Now, everybody who saw that video, if you have any common sense, you can see the cop knew he was wrong. When you look at that, he froze up, fight or flight. He froze up. He knew that guy was dying. That's why he kept saying, I fucked up. Damn. Right. You messed up. The woman told you, he told you, the victim told you that he had a permit. He had a, as soon as he heard gun, you know. And remember, their service weapons, they have hair triggers. Doesn't take a whole lot to pull that.
Well, it's, right. I'm, you don't know, but, you know, so many of these police departments carry Glocks. And those things don't even have a damn safety on them.
No, it's just so ugly. And you know, the other part, now New York State, after Eric Gardner's case, they kind of addressed this issue, is that how these guys who are out there to protect us and make bad decisions, how they're prosecuted. See, there needs to be an impartial way that they're prosecuted. This grand jury thing doesn't work.
Well, and among other things, for instance, in the Alton Sterling case, John Bel Edwards, the governor of Louisiana, has taken the case away from local prosecution and handed it over to the Department of Justice. So the local prosecutor can't whitewash it, you know, like what happened in Missouri. But here's another question, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
How many situations are there where a police officer needs his service weapon and needs to be able to fire it immediately, And having a round in the chamber ready to go is the difference between life and death. I would guess something approaching nil. How many lives would be saved simply by requiring the cop to chamber a round before he gets to shoot? You know, a couple of seconds to cool off and not freak out.
That's a good question, Bob.
Now, this guy is standing there with body armor on, and let's assume for a moment that that this gentleman actually was going for his gun. So he clears the gun, and he shoots the cop right in the body armor. He might be bruised up, but on the other hand, he wasn't going for his gun. The round was already in the chamber, so he just clears it out of the holster and goodbye. Four or five rounds.
And see, normal people, they tell you don't walk around. You're not supposed to walk around with one in the chamber, because, especially with a semi-automatic.
No, that's how you wind up with oops, blam, pray.
There you go. In Walmart, oh, I'm sorry I killed your baby. It was okay, it was accidental, unless you're black.
Or, I mean, you know, we didn't even talk about it. There was this story, a horrifying story of a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, homosexual who had a family of seven, and he took two of his kids with him down to the world's safest gun range, the world's safest indoor gun range down in Florida, Stan. You know, just to do a little family shooting. And so he's got his semi-automatic pistol out, and he's shooting at the target, and everything's safe. But lo and behold, I mean, it's a freak accident. Lo and behold, a round, the case from a discharged round, because it's a semi-automatic firearm, discharges, goes up, and comes back over and goes down Daddy's shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy, with the gun hand, reaches around, because I guess maybe the shell casing's a little warm, and goes to, you know, get it off his back, accidentally fires the weapon, the bullet ricochets off the ceiling and goes through the head of his kid.
Now, that's involuntary manslaughter. You're the lawyer, but...
I'm not a lawyer. I am not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio.
Well, you've got...
No, there will be no charges.
You understand what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah, that's negligent. Right. That's negligent homicide, it would seem to me, by any stretch of the imagination. But the dude then came out a couple of days later and said, "Well, you know, people have been asking me, and no, I'm not going to get rid of my firearms. It wasn't the firearms' fault. It was my fault. I killed my kid." That'd be like throwing away all my hammers if I'd beat him to death with a hammer.
All right. See, we're talking about safety issues.
We're also talking about white folks.
Well, of course. And like when I took the course, right, they take you out in the woods. I mean, it's just like no regulation. I freaked out. I was like, wait a minute, there's no partition? They just had a bunch of tables up and the embankment.
Blam, blam, blam. Yeah.
You know, and shells are flying. You know, shells are flying, basically. Shells are flying. Bam, you know. And I was like, I really wanted to leave, but I was like, this shit ain't safe. This is not safe. There's nothing safe about that shit. But you got these fools running around, they're fucking full of lead in this system. You know, we're in a hell of a mess. And now in your state, people are just walking. No wonder you want to stay the hell home. People are walking around with guns, and they can't even tie their damn shoelaces. And
at this point in time, I'm thinking I'd really like to have a house made of brick, you know, like the third little pig. Hey, Todd, it's been a great conversation. I really appreciate you calling in and helping out.
Sorry, Bob, but that's all I can do. I'm just thanks, Bob. I'll talk to you later.
All right, see you, Todd. Bye now.
All right.
Down in South Carolina, Stan, our buddy Todd. And I really do. I need help with this. Because I can't. All I can do is respond humanly. but there's an aspect of it that I can never know. Just can't. Let's check in with the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man. I don't know where you want to begin.
Well, I mean, anywhere you think necessary. I mean, I've done my best, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, I mean, it's a wide open field. I mean, we see now now that he's ready to leave office, it doesn't have to really answer for too much more or take responsibility for anything after a while. Obama's now talking kind of tough. You know, oh, well, Black Lives Matter has a point. Now, this is after him slamming Black Lives Matter for the best part of fucking two goddamn presidential terms. Now, all of a sudden, he has something to say. You know, he's had an opportunity to say a whole lot. If he had spoken up before, perhaps these two gentlemen that have just been killed, you know, right after fucking the 4th of July, two black men in America, by the way, you know, maybe they would still be here. But he never gave the police any pause. He never gave white society any reason to take pause. You know, I said this to you earlier this week. It's not, you know, anything negative or any bad feelings towards the mainstream gay community in the United States. But politically speaking, they have had no power for quite a long time. I know the history.
Are you there, Angry? I really want to get Angry's perspective on this. Nick in Minnesota writes and says, St. Anthony Police, one point in this on this department, Falcon Heights is a very tiny suburb just north of St. Paul. It has contact with the village of St. Anthony to use this contract. It has a contract with the village of St. Anthony to use their police. St. Anthony is a tiny suburb just north of Minneapolis. They're actually in different counties. Always wondered how much community they feel when policing in a town that they don't even come from. They have a reputation of strictly enforcing traffic laws in Falcon Heights. Since it is part of my daily commute to work, I try to watch it. Luckily, says Nick in Minnesota, I'm white. Oh, this is not good. I have just lost the stream. I've lost Angry. Let's see what's going on here. Don't need this right in front of no. I'll be dipped. Stand by. Well, for those of you listening to the podcast, I'll go ahead and say that I have just lost my connection. I'd planned on knocking off at 8 o'clock. Instead, I'll be knocking off at 13 minutes till 8, because it looks like I'm going to spend the next hour and 13 minutes trying to get the internet back. in order to be able to fill in for Malloy. My sincerest apologies. I have no idea what's going on, what's caused it to go down, but down it has, in fact, gone. So, again, back with Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow. Thanks, y'all. Good night.